The 12 miners killed in the Sago mine disaster have all been laid to rest. The only survivor, 26-year-old Randall McCloy, is still in a coma. As West Virginians try to come to terms with the Sago tragedy, investigators have begun the long process of piecing together how it happened. Anna Sale of West Virginia Public Broadcasting reports.
Investigations by state and federal regulators continue into what caused the explosion at the Sago mine. They expect to be able to enter the mine in the next few days. They've been waiting for poisonous gases to clear out of the mine. At the beginning of the week, Governor Joe Manchin announced another investigation of mine safety to be led by David McAteer. McAteer ran the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration under President Clinton. McAteer says this disaster warrants a broader probe.
Ordinarily, the state and federal investigations look at a moment in time, what happened at that moment in time, and that's very important. But also, we need to be stepping back from this investigation to look at where are we in terms of mine rescue, where are we in terms of communication, where are we in terms of health and safety underground.
McAteer spent this week collecting information from regulators, the owner of the mine, International Coal Group, and the miners' families. He hopes to submit a final report by July 1st. But Governor Manchin says he may take action before the report is finished.
If we find areas that we need to address with legislation or policy decisions during the investigation process, we will not wait for the final report. We will act immediately.
Meanwhile, during the week, more information emerged on the safety record at the Sago mine. State regulators issued 144 violations at the mine last year. That was up from 74 the year before. According to records from the State Office of Miners' Health, Safety, and Training, inspectors found escape routes that were too narrow or too difficult to pass, breaches of the mine's approved ventilation plans, and persistent roof falls. But office spokeswoman Karen Gresham says that record isn't out of the ordinary.
The violations at the Sago mine were probably about similar to mines of similar size and with similar number of people.
Also this week, the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration released reports of 17 citations deemed unwarrantable failures. That's MSHA's distinction for violations where the coal operator's conduct goes beyond negligence. The Sago mine received one such citation in mid-December for having excessive coal dust in the mine, which can be combustible. The inspector wrote, quote, "The operator has shown a high degree of negligence for the health and safety of the miners that work at this coal mine by allowing the conditions to exist." On Wednesday, International Coal Group held what it said will be its last press conference before the federal investigation is complete. CEO Ben Hatfield attributed the high number of violations to increased enforcement by regulators, and he questioned their relevance to the accident investigation.
We have heard nothing in the course of all this debate about the safety violations that even remotely connects with the current assessment of what's likely the cause of the explosion.
There's no telling how long it will take to uncover the cause of the explosion. There are still a number of theories, including the possibility that natural gas from nearby wells seeped into the mine and was ignited by lightning. For NPR News, I'm Anna Sale in Charleston, West Virginia.
There's more on mining accidents at NPR.org. Labor correspondent Frank Langfitt has written an essay about the sad tradition of mine disaster vigils in Appalachia.